This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to KimandLavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
And it's live here on a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day, Tuesday edition, Wendy's Big Show. Bill Baby Tao Schmidt alongside the former Badger and Packer running back Gary Ellerson, C. Sparky Pfeiffer here as well. Evan Heffelfinger producing the show today. Yes, that is his last name, Heffelfinger. 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com, the Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. You can email us, drop us a line there. You can also tweet at us at 1057FMTheFan on Twitter as well as Facebook. And Gary, this is just a flat-out blunt question that I've been thinking about as you look at what the Green Bay Packers are doing right now and just finished up momentarily ago. These joint practices with the Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien, head coach of the Houston Texans,
yeah. He
leans to be more of an old-school guy, leans to be a little bit more of the hard-nosed dude. That's kind of what he wanted to instill when he took over Penn State after the Joe Paterno situation. Then he went to the NFL. He's taken over the Texans, and they're a hard-nosed football team. They're a defensive-minded football team.
Right.
They're physical. And they bring a little bit of a nasty to them that you don't necessarily see as much around the NFL. The Green Bay Packers have somewhat been the polar opposite, I think, in the last few years. And Mike McCarthy obviously had success here, and it may have worn thin with some fans and possibly some players as well. But there was always a knowledge that, like, looking in from afar, you knew he was taking care of his dudes. You knew that he was doing what he had to try to make sure those dudes were ready to go on Sundays. And sometimes that can come at the expense of being as nasty as possible, being that violent football team that you have. And the Packers over the last couple of days, just from the outside looking in, have shown that they are going to be closer to that football team than they have been in years past. And maybe it's just flared with the fight that broke out yesterday with Lonnie Anderson, and then obviously another one today where Za'Darius Smith gets into it with the Houston Texan offensive line, and then the whole bench is clear. And it has me thinking, as a dude that's been a part of a couple of these scuffles, and I thought it built brotherhood. I don't necessarily know if it was good for anybody. But are these joint scrimmage fights, these practices that, and the fights that break out, can they be good for a football team?
Well, typically fights are never good for a football team, right? I mean, you don't want to get anybody hurt. Really don't want to be involved in,
especially when
that,
you're punching the guys in the helmet
stuff. Yeah, and I hate saying this because you sound like the typical radio guy, but I have huge inside sources that told me that over a number of years that they thought the Green Bay Packers had got soft. You know, that, you know, the players may have been just, you know, living, you know, on easy street, so to speak. I mean, everything they got there is for the players. I mean, it is, if you wanted to ever be on a professional team, the Green Bay Packers are the Taj Mahal of everything you could possibly want or have for an organization.
Okay.
Because that's all they got. That's all they do. And to their credit, they make it easy for you to do your job. So I commend them for that. But I think in some ways that they have lost, because of all this good stuff, they have lost. You know, I mean, one day I can drive a Porsche. One day I can drive a Bentley. One day I can drive a Mercedes. One day I can drive an Audi. One day I can drive a Lamborghini. I mean, and I don't have to wash any of them or put gas in any of those cars.
I just get to drive it around, hang out.
And sometimes you get a little spoiled. And it just felt like to me that the Packers may have got a little bit of that complacency. I mean, we talked about this last year, and that word kind of came out under Mike McCarthy, complacency. And I think for me, just outside looking in, it feels good to see the Packers actually doing his joint practices, and it feels good, or it's different for me to see these guys going after. And I'm not saying they would not have gone after Houston last year under Mike McCarthy. I don't know. But it seems a little bit more ratcheted up this year than his years past. Only thing I have it to judge on, I think the last time we did it, Steve, was against Buffalo. Was that Buffalo?
A while. I think it was Buffalo, yeah.
14 years ago. We thought that A.J. Hall was going to get traded for Marshawn Lynch that one year, and he wasn't going to leave. I don't know if you remember all that. That was a lot of talk back then of that. But, see, I don't remember fights breaking out then. You know, memory's not as good as it used to be. But
well, mine certainly not.
But I think, I mean, if you say, you know, are these joint scrimmages fights, are they good for the team? No, fights are never good. But I think in this case, I like it for the Green Bay Packers.
Okay. So, now fan perspective. This is what I think. You tell me if you think I'm right or wrong on this one. We can do it the Mike McCarthy way, and we all know I'm a big fan of Mike McCarthy.
Oh,
was
we all
the
are.
Most people listening were not. But this show was, outside of Orlovsky when he produced. But I firmly believe that when you have these scrimmages, and I understand why you didn't want to do them because the fights, like you said, you don't want to get anybody hurt, right? Sternberger with a concussion, jaw injury, Trevor Davis got hurt, all that fun stuff because of the hits. Not because of the fights, but because of the hit themselves that trigger the fight. I think it bonds the team a little bit more. I do. I think it pulls together a unit closer together when you have that versus not having the scrimmages, not having whatever may be the fights. Look, that happens yesterday with two guys getting knocked out pretty much by Lonnie Johnson. And then today what happens? A Bills offensive lineman and our guy Zadarius get into it. Because he came looking for blood, I got a feeling today. Want to start with stuff yesterday? Fine, yeah. I'm going to start it today. We'll see how this goes. So he went after an offensive lineman, and we went at it again today. But again, I think it brings everybody together because you've got defensive guys sticking up for offensive players a day later. I don't know what Billy's feelings are on this, but I remember when Rami was the host of this show, and Rami hated it. I always am a guy that, look, you hit my guy, I'm going to hit your guy in baseball. That's how this works, right? My pitcher's going to stick up for my hitter. Rami didn't believe in that. This Brewers brass doesn't believe in that. Mm-hmm. But I always have believed in that. And I think that says a lot to the hitter when their pitchers have their back versus continuously getting plunked. So in this situation here, you would never have this situation until maybe the regular season. Now you're starting to form that bond of Zadarius Smith walking up to Jay Sternberger maybe in the locker room going, dude, we got you. Like, we'll take care of business on our side of the ball. We got you if something else happens. Having Billy Turner come out yesterday saying, nobody's punking my guys. You think you're going to do that? I'm going to be the first one right there to greet you when you start to try and get up.
Right.
That stuff is good for building a football team or a baseball team or whatever.
Yes.
I think it's so good.
Yes,
the downside is, you could get in a fight and somebody could get hurt. I agree.
Right.
I think the upside outweighs the downside.
I've never thought that it was smart to get into a football fight. As somebody that's been in them, I don't think necessarily it looks good with the coaches. It might not necessarily work well for your health, like you just said, especially when you're punching dudes in the helmet. But from the brotherhood stance and knowing the other 52 dudes in that locker room, it's hard for me to dispute what Steve just said. I mean, like when you see guys left and right of you knowing that they're going to be in the middle of the melee, I remember one coach, Coach Brad Linares, he walked up to us after our first one. I was a freshman. Some dude had just got into it, and he looked over at us. Two guys brought in. There's about 15 of us. It was in one-on-ones. Gary, you know how those one-on-ones go. And he goes, all right, that was good. Next time, if everybody's not in it, everybody's running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
Because there is a part of it that if you're going to know that in the toughest game in professional sports, that you're not going to have that on your back and those guys on your side, it's tough to know that you're going to be able to go 60 minutes and 16 games with it. But on the contrary, what does it help you with on an X's and O's standpoint? Probably nothing.
No. No, well, toughness. Want to. I mean, flip it. I mean, I was with the Packers. We had some bad dudes in our locker room when I was there. But winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were tough.
Yeah.
We winning games.
And so people knew we were tough.
Right. So there's that balance You know, how many of those guys you have in your locker room, you want in your locker room, and you got to have some guys with talent. But most certainly, I think in years past, if you looked at Green Bay Packers, you always thought the Green Bay Packers turned the other cheek. You always kind of thought the Green Bay Packers weren't as tough as other ball
clubs.
It's
been since the 80s.
What?
It's been since the 80s, since this team's had any type of fear factor when an offense is playing them of, dude, our guys are going to get hit today one way or the other. It's going to happen.
That Leroy Butler's team, that 96 team, that Sean Jones, that Gilbert Brown, that Santana Dotson, that Wayne Simmons, jokers.
But look at that
jokers,
team.
Them jokers would light you up. Okay, they had two corners like 6'1", 6'2".
We're talking about two different things.
Okay.
So that's my fault.
Okay.
Now, Wayne Simmons classified, yes. That's that guy, right?
Well, no, and so is Sean Jones.
Sean Jones?
Oh, my God,
I don't remember him being that guy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
What?
Oh, God, I'm not arguing with you. Hey.
What?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't remember Sean Jones being that guy.
And then the grave digger right there in the middle?
Yeah, but again, I don't. Very good football players, physical football players. Yeah. I don't know if it's a fear factor. Reggie White fear factor as far as he's a Hall of Famer that's ever played.
Reggie was his built-in fear factor.
Lawrence Taylor fear factor of like, this dude's nuts and he's going to get my quarterback. Reggie White very good, but I don't think he was trying to hurt anybody necessarily.
Well, he's just doing
other than Tony Madridge when he hip-tossed him 10 yards.
He was hip-tossed. Oh, that'll do it. Anyway, go ahead.
But if you go to your teams, I mean, you had multiple guys that you didn't know where they were coming from, and they were trying to kill you or not.
Right.
That type of deal.
Yeah.
This football team here, which you have right now, I think is somewhere maybe in between those two. Not saying how good they're going to be, but as far as the guys that might be a little bit on edge and might do something in a given situation, stick up for their guys, far, far more physical and far, far more likely to be a little nasty than, say, the last 5 years of Packer defenses for sure.
Right.
As far as how they're coming. And part of that is the defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine. I mean, he's going to lead the charge. Greg Williams, he's going to lead his crazies to be the way he wants them to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Mike Pettine can control the crazies as far as how much he wants them to go. How much over the line does he want you to push it? So he's going to control that a little bit.
That's a Rex Ryan disciple.
Correct.
So if you know Rex Ryan football,
that's how they're going to play.
Yeah.
And they didn't have like guys that fit his personality last year, right? Last year, Pettine didn't have guys that fit his personality. Well, guess what? He got with the GM in the front office and said, these are guys that fit my personality, and let's start in Baltimore and go get that guy. I mean, so it's going to fit more of how he wants to play. Faster, more aggressive, bigger, hard-hitting. You're going to know you play the Green Bay Packers, and it's been a long time since an offense knew that they were going to be battered and bruised the next day after they played a Packer defense.
Yeah. Packers
fans, do you think that these joint scrimmage fights are good for your football team? I think that's one part of it, Gary, that we've touched on. Like, it can be good for some teams, and it can just be detrimental for others.
Yes.
But for this Packers team,
you need to see some of that.
It might be the best thing for them. 414-799-1250.
Do we have any sound from Rodgers saying he doesn't want to do this anymore?
He's not very interested in continuing these joint practices. That's another, for sure.
That's another thing we need to touch on, too.
Yeah, he's not too interested in these joint practices.
We'll go to a break.
That's for sure. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM.
What?
Talking Stevie.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to do Harry's Razors.
Oh, Harry, let's go.
Let's do that.
Harry's Razors. Oh, look. It's getting, well, it's not really getting all that much cooler out, but you still get that summer breeze from time to time. Feels so good against your face after a nice, smooth shave with your Harry's Razor. Love my Harry's Razor. Absolutely love it. Get that nice, close, comfortable shave with Harry's Razors. And check this out. You can refresh your face and your wall with blades as low as $2 each. I've told so many people about Harry's Razors, and so many people have thanked me over the course of time for recommending just a great razor. They haven't gone back to the razors they were using before. People that use electric razors, threw them out. Don't even go to them anymore. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. All you have to do is use the word Sparky, Sparky, at Harry's.com. Harry's believes you shouldn't have to trade great quality for a low price. You deserve both. They own their own factory in Germany, and it's been making some of the best blades in the world for nearly a century. It's a long time. 100% quality guarantee as well. If you don't love your shave, you're going to. Let them know, and they'll give you a full refund. But again, you're going to love your shave. Harry's cares about giving back too. 1% of sales are donated to charitable organizations. This summer, Harry's has a special offer for listeners of The Big Show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code SPARKY at harrys.com. That means you can get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code SPARKY, S-P-A-R-K-Y, at harrys.com. And when you run out, remember Harry's replacement cartridges are just $2 each. And if you prefer to shop in-store, Harry's razors are also available at Walmart and Target.
We're going to hear from the quarterback and the general manager, your Milwaukee Bucks, here in the 3 o'clock hour. Lots to get to. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Big Show, Kim and LaVoy, Judgment Day here on the Fan. Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer, running back Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and I'm Bill Baby Tower Schmidt with you till 5:30 on Deck Show. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show gets you ready for Brewers and Pirates from PNC Park as the Brewers continue to try to get themselves back to their consistent winning ways. That's the best way to do it. You get one more tonight. That's two in a row, and that's what we call a winning streak. Maybe. And the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show after the game here on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Do you think joint scrimmage fights can be good for a football team? More importantly, Packer fans, can they be good for your football team? 414-799-1250, live at 105.7 FM, thefan.com, our Kim LaVoy Judgment Day question of the day. Stevie, from the fan perspective, you're right that it's fun to see that nasty on your football team, but also part of it can also be a fear factor of, we've seen this story before of so many dudes going down. You've already seen, and they're muscle injuries, they're soft tissue injuries when you're talking about hamstrings and different things like that. But Jay Sternberger is the dude that gets laid out yesterday by Lonnie Johnson that starts the first skirmish, and then he's down today for the Packers.
Yeah, well, again, that's part of it. And he came back yesterday, if you remember, and they say, well, sometimes with the concussion, it'll happen the next morning. Okay. So he woke up, didn't feel so well, and they're also saying it's some type of jaw issue as well with him. Trevor Davis also is a part of that. He was held out of practice today because he felt some ramifications from the hit that he took from Lonnie Johnson yesterday. So both those guys that got hit by that dude, both didn't participate in practice today. And, yeah, that's the downside. But, again, the positive is all of these guys talking about sticking up for their guy. Jimmy Graham was talking about it. Billy Turner was talking about it. Za'Darius Smith was talking about it, and then went out today and got in his own fight with one of the offensive linemen from the Buffalo Bills. And
Houston
Texans. I'm not going to try and tell you I know Za'Darius Smith, but I'm guessing that's his way of telling his guy that, dude, we got you. You know, we may not be able to get that guy because they didn't run him back out here again today for practice. They held him out because they knew we were going to be looking for him if they did run him back out here. Smart move by Bill O'Brien. So they left him out.
Right.
But what's going to happen now is Thursday, that dude's going to come back out there. He's going to get hit.
Well, let's see if they hold him out.
Would you?
Probably.
You would sit him out of the game on Thursday?
I might. I think about it for sure.
What about you, Baytosh?
Are very limited.
Not
I don't. I don't even know who Lonnie Smith is. His name's Lonnie Smith.
Lonnie Johnson Jr. He's a second round pick of the Texans this year, so he's a rookie.
Oh,
he's going to play.
Oh, he's rookie on rookie.
And
crime.
He's making the team.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no, he's already.
Because if that's your guy, you love Lonnie. What's his name?
Lonnie Johnson.
You
Jr.
love if that's your guy. You love Lonnie Johnson Jr.
Bill O'Brien said it wasn't that big of a deal.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. If he was a Green Bay Packer and he did that, you love that young rookie right there at safety.
Did you see what Lonnie Johnson posted on Instagram last night? After
he stood over him.
When he talked about a flex, I had to post this flex.
Yeah, had to.
Now that might be the reason.
He is on the team. That's the joker. That's why I drafted him right there.
And my favorite part is Bill O'Brien sits him out of practice and then says, man, we just did a little workout.
No, Bill
knows. We did a little workout in Don Hudson Center.
Bill knows.
He said, okay, man, coming. This is what you're going
to do. It'll be hell to pay for everybody else.
Everybody else is going to feel the pain.
Right.
And they might not like you.
Yeah.
And but they'll be okay with you once you start making those plays in the game.
Because that's the message that you send to everybody else, and they go in and tell, hey, Rook, come on, Rook, you're making it hard for all of us. Here's what I was going to get to, Steve. Aaron Rodgers also made some comments. Matt LaFleur made comments about that maybe, you know, he'd love to do two of these. Aaron Rodgers says he's all done.
Two different teams, two different weeks.
Aaron Rodgers says he's all done. I'm glad it's over. I would see these jokers Thursday or whatever. I don't want it. Blah, 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 blah. You know what else you're going to get out of this, though, too, is that your dynamic with your quarterback and your dynamic with your head coach. He ripped them a new one in the press conference today.
We got the audio, don't we? Do we have the audio? We should have the audio.
And today. Mike McCarthy, I don't think, would ever do anything like that.
No. Nope.
And so you got him ripping them, and then you got Rodgers over there with the side eye saying he don't want to do this anymore, and he's saying he wants two more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm telling you, something's going to give here. I don't know. Because I'm not in New England. I'm just going to throw Tom Brady. I don't know if Tom Brady does a lot of back-talking to the hoodie. I'm like, what does it stop? I mean, it just, you know.
Well, maybe Rodgers didn't know that LaFleur said he'd like to do two
right.
hoodies every summer.
Right.
You know, two different teams, two different
right.
weeks. And then they go ask Rodgers. And Rodgers' like, I'm done with this crap. I don't do this no more.
Right.
I mean, he may not have known what LaFleur said.
Right.
And I'm guessing he probably didn't know.
Let's say he didn't know.
Right. And I'm guessing he didn't know that LaFleur
right.
questioned their effort. And that whole deal either when he said, you know, it doesn't take any talent to provide effort.
So then here's what needs to happen, and I don't know if it's going to happen. And then some media guy needs to go say, hey, Matt, Rodgers, you say you want to do two more. Rodgers says he's done.
And then if I'm the head coach, I say, well, then too bad. Because we're going to do two of them next year.
Right. I want him to say that to me. If I'm the media guy, I just want to know.
Oh, he's going to do what he wants to do. I don't think this is about 12. I mean, first of all.
Although all offseason, all we thought of that the conversations were going to be all about 12.
Correct. And they're going to be all year. But guarantee you, most of our topics
correct.
Will be about 12, and you're going to get sick of doing this show because of it. But what's going to occur is you're going to have this
well,
guy.
Go somewhere, let's do some man talk, I suppose.
Yeah. He's pulling what Jason Kidd did. Now, and I don't really know if I like it or if I don't like it, because if we remember Jason Kidd press conferences, when they would lose, he'd say, well, we just didn't have a lot of energy tonight. You know,
right.
just got to bring more effort.
Right.
So now today, they don't get a first down against the Texans, and his thing is, just didn't give a lot of great effort. You know?
Yes. Doesn't
take talent to give effort.
Yes.
That type of stuff.
He's talking about everybody.
Okay.
So 12 got to be saying.
This is the second time now he's 12, questioned the offense's effort.
12 got to be saying, is he talking to me?
You're damn right. Well, he's talking to everybody. But you're the leader of the offense, so you should be in charge of making sure everybody's going full bore. At least that's how I look at it. I don't know about everybody. Is that how you look at it, baby Tosh, as an offensive lineman, that the quarterback's the leader, and if there's lack of effort, he should be able to feel it and kick everybody in the butt to get going?
I'm in a different camp, though. I've never thought that it has to be the quarterback that has to be the leader of the effort.
Who was it for you guys at Whitnall?
It was... I mean, well, we weren't very good, so it was.
But was there a leader of the offense?
I guess I would say that it was probably the coach.
So Salve was never really the leader.
A wide receiver was in there that we had when I was closer to a senior. When I was in college, it was kind of just our running back. It was a different offensive lineman than me on the other side.
So you never had a leader as a quarterback. It was never the quarterback.
I mean, not necessarily. Like, my quarterback in college was a big-time player, but he wasn't necessarily the vocal dude. He was more of a quiet guy that we called the polar bear because he didn't talk much.
Yeah, that's not good. But, I mean, from that standpoint now, where you're criticizing the offense now twice, LaFleur has done that for effort. I don't think McCarthy did that once in 10 years that he was here. Do you remember ever McCarthy questioning offense's effort?
When did
pulling
you
off
hear
the field?
Him question anybody,
not
though.
Not calling them out.
Right.
He didn't really call anybody out, though.
No?
Ever. So, I mean, if that's going to be the conversation, then this is just a totally different football team that we now know is completely different than it ever was under Mike McCarthy.
But how will this quarterback and some of these players react to this new leadership style? Because some of these guys may not like it and may revolt against it and be like, dude, to hell with you, man. I know how good I am. You don't got to sit there and tell me that I'm not giving effort. I know I'm giving effort. That type of stuff. That's what you got to work through. And, you know, that's what training camp is for and exhibition season. Get everybody on the same page and everybody buying in. Because that's the thing, right? At the end of the day, these players have to buy in and believe what this head coach is saying is going to lead them to the promised land. If that doesn't occur, then the whole season is just scrapped immediately if everybody doesn't buy into what the head coach is selling.
We'll hear from the quarterback next when he's Big Show here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan, 414-799-1250, Kim and LaVoy, Judgment Day, Bill Baby Tao Schmidt alongside Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back. Right now, Aaron Rodgers. Did Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, number 12, hey, let's saddle up to the locker here. First question, Aaron, do you Are you excited? And how much did you enjoy these training camp practices against the Houston Texans?
Let's pause this for a second. Does he sound remotely even kind of happy about anything?
He doesn't sound like he enjoyed himself one bit.
Does this sound like... I mean, he sounds like he just went and got two root canals done on his mouth, and people are now asking him questions. This is one of the more painful Aaron Rodgers interviews, pressers, I think I've heard.
This is similar to like a Jordan Lyles interview in comparison to like a Aaron Rodgers. Or name another one. Craig Counsell. There's more pauses in this than I hear with Craig going, but...
Yeah, but Counsell's that way always.
Right.
Like, that... Rodgers normally has a little bit more life to him. This year, this dude is just like, dude, I'm sick of talking about this team. I want to talk about the Texans. I don't want to talk about LaFleur either. I don't want to talk about any of this stuff. My girl is here.
Yeah.
I
Danica was at practice.
Right, Danica's here. I got to go. Like, why
Jordy's
do I have to
here.
Go through all this?
We got dinner coming up. We're going to go to a late lunch.
And now I'm stuck here talking to you fools. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
It does sound like
it
that.
It sounds like, dude, I do not want to be here right now. I want to leave. I'm sick of talking about this. All right, go ahead.
Okay, because there's a little bit longer here that we got. Right. That is Aaron Rodgers, a very interesting feel for Aaron Rodgers here after practice. Not enthused with the joint practices, but when you bring up 87, you can always crack a smile from number 12. He will always be excited when he can talk about Jordy Nelson, especially on a day that Jordy Nelson retires as a Green Bay Packer. This is the Wendy's...
The rest of that was brutal.
Yeah, the rest of it was painstaking.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
He was just, I mean, no.
He's not happy.
Well, the beginning of that.
He's not happy about anything.
Yeah, just wherever that was, just right in there somewhere. Didn't even get a first down?
I'm glad it's over.
Oh, that's the very beginning. When they had him about the two-minute offense. No, I'm not worried about it. Dude, you didn't even get a first down. Yeah. How are you not worried about not getting a first down?
Just keep going just a little bit.
No. What do you mean?
I'm glad it's over. What do you say?
I'm glad it's over. Why? So we can get on to the rest of training camp.
At all. Yeah, so we can leave. So we can go
this
home.
Joker ain't happy at one. Reds. And then the coach comes out and said, we need a little more effort.
Yeah, and he agreed with it. That came up. And he said, yeah, maybe we can get to the line a little bit quicker for him. Whatever. That
probably will help. Yeah, maybe that'll be fine.
The line a little bit quicker for him.
Maybe that'll be good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just telling you.
I guess if we throw the ball harder, maybe we catch it more.
Like we said. I mean, it was Danica's there, Jordy's there, and I got to sit here and talk to you fools. Like, I want to get the hell out of here. I'm done with all this. Like, let's go. Hurry up.
Yeah, that's a can I leave moment from Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I want to go.
And you, a dude that usually likes to talk.
And the other thing about this, in spring training, this happens in spring training too, right? So, like, end of February, all these baseball players could talk with everybody.
Yeah.
Mid-March, dude, I'm sick of this. Like, can we start the regular season? I've done all these features, all these TV stations around the state of Wisconsin. Talk to all you radio fools. I'm done. Like, I've had it. I'm done. Yes. Sick of talking about my off-season. Yes. Sick of talking about what I
same
work
questions.
On. Everybody's asking the same questions. Same I'm questions. Done. And now you're at a point where now you're in training camp. These guys have been there. Well, they don't get their brains beating anymore. But they've been going through training camp. They're just waiting to play a game now. Yeah. Just can we please talk about a game versus practice? Because that's what they've been talking about. Now a little bit more here with these practices with the Texans. But I'm sure some of that it factors into Rodgers and some of these guys too as far as dealing with the media.
And all he really expected was maybe a few more fights. Maybe a few more scuffles. Aaron Rodgers after practice there on the Wendy's Big Show. Coming up next, John Horst, spokesperson or general manager of the Milwaukee Bucks. I think he hopes that he becomes the president of basketball operations. If he follows in David Stern's footsteps, he's in a good situation. John Horst here on the Wendy's Big Show next on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Just heard from a disgruntled is not the right word, but maybe a little bit of a flustered Aaron Rodgers. Is that a better way to put it? Maybe a little bit of a malcontent Aaron Rodgers? Is that the right word to use?
Like, just, I don't know, just like, go to malcontent.
Right? Like I don't want to use like too big of a word to describe it. Just maybe a little bit of a flustered Aaron Rodgers.
Tired.
Tired. That's a different way to put it. Tired. He's tired. Everybody's tired.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, he could just be tired.
Oh, he criticized everything, Rodgers. I don't know. I mean, maybe all these guys do this. Maybe Tom Brady does it. Maybe my guy in New Orleans does it.
Drew Brees.
Criticizes the
coaching. Sean Payton, yeah.
How things are run. I don't know. I mean, because I'm not in New Orleans, so I don't know if they're criticizing Sean Payton. I don't know if my guy's criticizing the way things are run in Kansas City. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's normal and what's not normal. I could be overreacting.
But haven't we known that Aaron Rodgers is a different cat? Like, we've known that he's one of the different guys at that position in the league.
For sure. Well,
no?
Yeah. But I just want to know, all these other guys, are they doing it?
I wouldn't say,
and I know
not
you guys
to this extent.
Go, oh, my God, there go Gary goes again. He's bashing Rodgers. I mean, Steve's got big money on this. He's got, you know, T-shirts and stuff being printed up. But I'm telling you right now, if it keeps going like this, there's going to have to be a come to Jesus meeting at some point. And I'm serious.
There's no come to Jesus moment if they're 6-0 and he's throwing all kinds
right.
of touchdown passes.
But right now,
he can say whatever he wants.
But right now, they can't get a first down.
He don't care, though. He's fine. He's good. Don't care. Not a big deal to him. Didn't care about it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, they asked him about his struggle in the 2 minutes offense. You concerned about it? He's like, nope.
So good.
We're good.
Okay. We're all good.
We're all good.
We'll be okay. We're fine.
Yep, not worried about it.
It is what it is.
Because as he pointed out in that audio piece, dude, they're not running anything. We're not running anything. We're not seeing anything different from them. They're not seeing anything different from us. Pretty much a waste of time because nobody's showing anybody anything. Well, that's his viewpoint.
Can I just read this real quick?
It's probably the audio we played. Go ahead. Right?
I'm sure it is. But I just want to read it from my standpoint.
Oh.
Okay. We bring a team in. I understand the point of it. This is Rodgers now. I understand the point of it, but I don't think doing live special teams drills are very smart. I think the Players Association is going to look at that for sure.
It's never a good thing when you have to call in the union. Like if you think that you need to call
and
the union on this.
Say it and say it.
And print it.
Print it.
Yeah, that's.
Now, kickoff especially, it's one of the most dangerous plays in football. That's why they've tweaked different things over the years, says Rodgers.
Well, you weren't doing anything when you were going good on good, so what
I'm
else were we going
to
do?
I'm not saying he's threatening to call in the union, but I don't know if I'm going
to
say...
That's about as close as you can to get to saying that you're going to call the union without saying, I'm going to call the union.
And if you're Matt LaFleur, what do you think right now?
A Murph, Gutenkoos. We need to break down the silos right now with QB1. I just don't know if that's 4-1-4-7-9-9-12. Y'all think I'm going crazy, but I don't know if that's right.
In terms of where he should have voiced it?
Yes.
Where else is he going to voice it?
What? Go tell the coach.
Yeah, he put them on Front Street.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, no, but if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm going to say something.
If they get fined because of this, they're going to go
You know
nuts.
They're going to see us out there now. It's printed.
Yeah, because he meant to.
You're assuming that it's legal and they can do that, but if it's not legal and they shouldn't be doing it, now they could get fined. Both teams.
I think the Players Association is going to look at that for sure.
That was him calling the Players Association without having to pick up the phone and actually call somebody in.
Yeah, I hope they don't get fined over that. Because if they get fined over that, they're going to be livid. But, hey, whatever. You're bigger than the organization. Do what you want. And that's what he's throwing his muscle at this, going, I don't like it. And I'm going to make sure everybody knows why I don't like it, and we're going to put it all out there. That's fine. I'm assuming this is all legal, what they're doing. He may not agree with it.
He says it. Well, he thinks that it isn't.
Okay, but if it's not legal.
Well, Rodgers thinks it isn't legal.
And the Texans and Packers were in cahoots and doing
right,
this
they
stuff.
They did it together.
Which means they're both going to get fined.
Right.
If this is illegal.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So hopefully it is legal, and he's just being petty about this and not liking it. That's fine. But if it's illegal, and now they both get fined, oh, buddy.
Bill O'Brien's got a call. Hey, LaFleur. Hey, man.
Hey, dude. We agree to do this, and now my organization gets fined because you can't control your quarterback? Yeah, that's not going to be fun.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan. Patriots are in the middle of one. They're going with Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions right now. Lions will be doing another joint scrimmage with the Houston Texans coming up in 2 weeks' time. So we'll know a little bit more if that plan gets altered, if the Players Association had something to do with this, or if they had to hear about it by number 12, outside of just from when Robbie D asked him the question here during his locker meeting. That's something else. Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM. The Fan. Wendy's, the best place to go get dinner tonight.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Bacon Fest is going on at Wendy's, and you don't want to miss out. Again, you have to like bacon. I can't imagine, what percentage of this country do you think don't like bacon? 5%? 3%?
Don't like bacon?
There's some dumb people in the world.
Right? 5%? I mean, it's got to be a small percentage.
I eat bacon in the middle of the day.
Right.
There's some dumb people in this world. I'd probably put it higher than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Higher than 5%? Bacon Fest is on at Wendy's.
I didn't say smart people didn't like it.
Nobody does bacon like Wendy's, and they're celebrating their delicious meat candy at Bacon Fest. You realize nobody sells more bacon cheeseburgers than Wendy's because nobody does bacon like Wendy's. Well, you already knew that. I'm telling you, I went to Wendy's this weekend. You smelled the bacon upon walking into the restaurant. It was amazing. They're turning up the sizzle with new items like the bacon jalapeno cheeseburger, serving up hot and crispy deals like the bacon double stack, which is delicious, and the $5 biggie bag, plus tons of other bacon favorites too. It's a bacon lover's dream come true at Wendy's.
Wendy's Big Show here on A Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day, 414-799-1250. Giannis had some interesting remarks as to where he felt the direction of his career was going, or what necessarily meant the most to him. But is he right? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.